Herzlich willkommen zu Klassik Viral, dem Podcast gegen den Corona-Blues. Mein Name ist Arndt Kobbers und ich bin heute zu Gast bei der Pianistin Zlata Georgieva. Sie stammt aus Moskau und wohnt seit 2019 in Berlin und sagt, ihr Deutsch ist noch nicht gut genug für ein Gespräch auf Deutsch. Deshalb machen wir das gleich auf Englisch. Und deshalb fange ich jetzt nochmal an. Welcome to Classic Viral, the podcast against the Corona Blues. My name is Arndt Kovas and today I'm guest at the flat of Zlata Georgieva here in Berlin. Thank you very much that I can be here. And thank you very much for the music at the beginning. What was it that we heard just now?
So the first piece was a wonderful song by Felix Mendelssohn, Auf Flügeln des Gedankens. I'm sorry. Auf Flügeln des Gesanges, transcribed by Ferenc Liszt. And the second piece I played was Chopin, Etude, Opus 25, number 9. So this is a small, maybe promotion even, of my new CD, which will be released on February 12th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just got it some days ago. It's called Recreations with Piano Transcriptions by Rachmaninoff, Liszt and Friedman. And I want to start our talk with a quotation from the booklet. There's an interview with you. And you say there, one of my strongest earliest memories, I was 8 years old and played with an orchestra for the first time. The performance took place in the Great Hall of the Moscow Conservatory, and I played Mozart's Concerto K453. It was the happiest moment of my life. I realized how much I love being on stage and making music. So how is your life now that you're not able to be on stage?
Of course, I miss it a lot, enormously. And I'm lucky enough to participate in different online projects. And this is, of course, a big luck and happiness for me, but it's not the same. Even though I can't say really what's better, but it's just different. And to be able to communicate with the audience is always very special for me. I get inspired, I get very special warm feedback from the audience. It's, of course, very difficult for all of us musicians to stay silent, let's say, and to stay away from the stage, which gives a big drive, and it just fulfills your soul enormously. But I really hope to get back to normal life for all of us and to be able to perform for people live, not only through the screen.
Is it even more complicated, the situation? Now you are in a city that you don't know very much, and the people probably you don't know so many. You just moved here 2 years ago. Well, nearly two years now.
Yeah.
How is it to live here in Berlin now with all the concert venues closed and can't meet people and all this?
Well, I have good friends here, so I don't feel lonely. And I love this city, and I think if I spent this corona time in another place, I wouldn't be able to be in a good condition, which I am now anyway. So I think this place really helped me to overcome these difficult times. And I love Berlin. I think it has a very special energy. It has some strengths which I get from it. And yeah, so I was lucky to have some time to visit Staatsoper and the Philharmonie and Konzerthaus. So I already saw quite a lot before it happened in March, the lockdown. Of course, I would love to get back to this active life as a listener, as a visitor. But for now, I enjoy just watching, you know, the normal life, which is still here. Still, we have lots of people outside, and I can walk on streets and enjoy just the special spirit which this city definitely has.
Well, it's normal people who move to another city, they get to know people mostly from the work, where they go every day to the office or whatever. Musicians don't do that, especially pianists. How is it, life as a solo musician in a city?
Yeah, of course, we have to stay alone quite a lot because we pianists have a mostly solo work, and it's not much about communication with people, but more about communication with music and with yourself. And of course, I love playing chamber music, and that's one of the opportunities when I meet my friends and enjoy playing with them. But at the same time, you know, it's I'm so lucky to be a concert pianist, a musician, and having so many friends over the world. So for me, it's always a sort of a research to see deep inside into the country, culture, and also mentality, because I have friends from Europe, different countries, and from the States, from Asia, and it's really fascinating to realize the differences, but also the similarities between all nations, and yeah, it's really very interesting side of musician's life for me.
Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how many people from abroad live, musicians from abroad live in Berlin. Is this the place or one of the places to be at the moment as a musician?
Yes, I think it's very, first of all, very convenient to live here because you are basically in the center of Europe in a way. So it's just convenient to travel from here to different countries, which was a problem for me living in Salzburg, because it's a small place with very small airport, and it just takes much time to get to a certain point. But here it's much more comfortable. Also, it's such a culture place. It's a center of culture and music. So I think we get inspired here because so many events usually happen, and it's a very important part of our existence to not just to stay in our practice room in the studio and work with your repertoire, but it's also very important to get in touch with the different artists and different arts, visiting museums and concerts and operas. Mm-hmm. So this is very, very important for artists to recharge yourself and to get inspired from your colleagues.
Mm-hmm. Can you do chamber music at the moment?
Yes, I did a festival in Sweden in November, and we played quintet. So it is possible with some distance. We made an online concert, so it's still possible, and I was very refreshed doing that.
All right, yeah. Well, let's have a look into your biography. You were born in Moscow and you studied there, and you studied with Mikhail Pletnyov.
Yes, that's
and
right.
I read that he invited you to be his student. How did that come? How does it happen that someone like him invites someone to be a student?
I think first he watched my concert on a TV in Moscow. And after that, he invited me to play with his orchestra, with him conducting Rimsky-Korsakov Piano Concerto. And that was, I think, one of the strongest impressions and experiences in my life, just to be on stage with such a phenomenal musician, phenomenal artist is a really big luck. And after that, he offered me to study with him.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was a big challenge, of course. I was still quite young, I think 14 years old. And he was always one of my most favorite pianists. And of course, I was scared a little bit. But he produced such a generous attitude towards me. And he never put himself as a superior. It was always very, he encouraged me a lot for development, and he of course, could criticize me as well, which is very important. But it was so well balanced that I never felt pressed or never felt that I am just a student of a big maestro. Mm-hmm. So it was really nice. I think he produced himself as a friend as well. Mm-hmm. As who can just give you advice and support you and help you to develop.
Uh-huh. But how and what did he teach you? Did you talk about music? Did you play? Did he show you something, some tricks or whatever, or ways to solve some problems? Or?
Yes, it was usually it would be a very special lesson. We were just two students. Me and Sergei Basokinsky. So we would have a lesson together. I would listen to his lesson and he would listen to my lesson. Sometimes Pletnyov, maestro, would ask me suddenly to make a compliment for Sergei playing second piano for let's say Prokofiev third concerto, and that was of course a big challenge for me. I had to sight read. Yeah, but you know, after a couple of such experiences, you get ready for it, and you basically start sight reading a lot, and just I was trying to be always ready. That means that I would learn the second piano for those big concerti, or if Sergei, if I knew his repertoire, then I would get ready. Mm-hmm. We were not only working on the piano, but discussing many things and recordings. And he would show us plenty of recordings. We would listen together and exchange different opinions. And he would also ask me to sight read some rare pieces, and he would make a colloquium asking me some questions if I can play a certain part from, let's say, Tchaikovsky symphony. So it was a big picture of having a lesson. It was not only about playing, but about growing as a musician and artist, and we would discuss important things such as how to generate an idea, how to be brave, and how to find your face in the art. And I'm so grateful to the maestro for opening those doors for me, which I think helped me to become artist, not just a student or just a pianist.
Mm-hmm. But you studied in Moscow until you were 27, and then you went even for two more years to Salzburg to start to study with Jacques Rouvier. Why did you study for so long?
Well, it's more about a certain system. I finished Moscow Conservatory when I was 23 years old, I think, and then I went to postgraduate study because it's also a nice thing to do. To write a dissertation, and I would my subject for dissertation was Vladimir Horowitz. So it's not only about piano, but I mean the postgraduate study. It's also about making research and producing yourself as a little bit as a scientist in the musical field. So that was also interesting for me. And we also play the chamber music a lot, and to write a dissertation in quite a professional way. And also the focus was on the philosophy. Yeah, so I don't actually regret to study for so long. And yeah, after finishing it, I went to Salzburg. I wanted to explore different schools just to start living in Europe and to, you know, to breathe with this air, to understand things better. Mm. It's not it's not good to just to be isolated in one country for an artist, because we have to be so international to be able to play different music, first of all, such as, you know, German composers and Austrian, French, Italian, Russian. So it's always nice to explore and to be a part of everything.
But now you want to be, and you are a concert pianist.
Yeah.
A lot of young pianists or young musicians then start to teach to be a bit secure. So say, well, if it doesn't work, if it's more complicated than one thinks, there's a safe leg or so. You're just giving concerts.
I taught in Mozarteum. I was teaching there for, I think, 6 years. And it was a big experience for me, because I would not only teach but also learn from students. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very special moment when you realize, actually, for certain things, you realize how they work theoretically, because many subjects you learn intuitively, just by intuition and by experience, but then you don't realize how actually they work theoretically. And when you teach, you have to explain to a student how the approach and how to make it work, and then you start thinking about it, and it becomes a little bit more as a system, which also very important. And yeah, then I just decided to focus on my career as a concert pianist, as I signed a contract with the general management with Hazard Chase in England. And I thought that it's very difficult for me to combine having a stable teaching job with traveling and having concerts every week or so. Yeah, so that's why you have to make a choice.
Mm-hmm. And then you did your debut CD, if I got it right, the debut CD was the Chopin, All Etudes.
The debut CD was actually with the Rachmaninoff, with the first piano sonata and the Chopin variations. That was my first CD.
Okay.
And the second CD was with all Chopin etudes.
Mm-hmm. And did I get that right? That the magazine Gramophone, which is a well-known magazine in England, said it was one of the top 10 Chopin recordings ever
yes,
made.
Yes, I was.
That's
put
something.
In it. That was, of course, a big honor for me.
Well, I should think that now all the people from the world would have you to play Chopin and to play some like that.
Well, it's difficult to say, but yeah, in a certain period, during the certain period, people would expect me to play Chopin etudes a lot.
Uh-huh.
And of course, they became my closest friends. Yeah, so actually the Chopin etudes, any pianist can say that he or she got to know Chopin etudes since they were very little, and with me it was the same. Basically played my first etude when I was very little. I don't remember exactly, but maybe 8 or 9 years old. And of course I played some of them, but an idea to play them as a cycle, means all of them, 24 or even 27 etudes, this idea came to my mind when I was a student, and I had to prepare the graduation exam, the final exam, to finish Moscow Conservatory. So, of course, we always plan something special for this event, for this exam. And I thought to prepare the 24 etudes, Opus 10 and Opus 25. And so that was a huge work for me. And I even played them for a Richter competition for the semifinal round, and I was young and crazy, so I thought to play them without break,
wow,
all 24, which I wouldn't do now, because we can, and maybe it's even better to make a break between two opuses, A year ago in Brussels, I played the 27 etudes, and so I would make a break, of course, and then I would separate the Opus 10 and 25. But when I was young, I thought, well, it's just interesting to play all of them without break, and it would take, I guess, about 50 minutes. With no break and quite intensive, oh, 50 minutes. Yeah, but I did it, and I tried it many times to get used to it. So I played in some small concerts just to try out, and it worked well. But then I left them for a while, and when the second CD project came to my mind, then I thought, why not to record the Chopin etudes and to get back to them? And my mission for myself was to actually to overcome all technical difficulties with the means of music. So it was a different work for me. As I knew them from before, the technical challenge was less for me, less big. So I wouldn't work that much on a technique, but would try to make them sound as sketches, so that I would convert the title etude into a more poetical way. For me, they just expressed so many interesting ideas, and just to consider them as virtuoso works would be a little bit boring. I think they deserve much more than that, a precise look into the spiritual world and poetic world, which is very, very big and prominent in these pieces.
And then you thought, let's do the same with Rachmaninoff's etudes.
Yes, but with Rachmaninoff etudes, it's already there because they're etude tableau. Mm-hmm. So with Chopin, it's still, these works are considered to be virtuoso works, first of all. So I wanted to change this stereotype and to present them as just masterpieces and works to enjoy music, first of all. But with Rachmaninoff, yeah, they're of course very challenging technically wise, but it was maybe less challenge for me because they don't exist as virtuoso works only.
If I see it right, you play as well in concerts, not only, but a lot of Chopin, a lot of Rachmaninoff. Is that your choice? And do you think it's good to focus musically on something?
Well, before I played a lot of works by Schumann, for example. I also played quite a lot Mozart and Prokofiev. You know, I think that we all have our very specific individual world inside. And I played many, many composers and some rare things and then modern things and also Baroque music. But then I realized that it's very important to see your face in music. Of course, it's very important to be everywhere in all styles and to work with many composers. But in a certain age, you understand that it's important to present yourself as an artist. You have to collaborate with those composers who you feel very close to. Otherwise, it's very difficult to draw your portrait for audience. There can be some misunderstandings if you present the composer you don't really understand. And I feel that for yourself, of course, you can play everything, and we should play everything to grow and to develop. And obviously, the taste and the perception of life changes by years, and it affects the repertoire. But at the same time, it's very important just to also to know yourself better and to present yourself as an artist in the most true way. And then the repertoire plays the main key. It's just, it can describe you in a more honest way.
Mm-hmm. Now in this new CD, you say it's transcriptions by the three greatest pianists of all time. You're quoted here in the booklet, which is Liszt, Rachmaninoff, and then Ignaz Friedman.
Yes.
Why this choice? Why not Chopin or Horowitz? Why Friedman?
The Friedman was one of the greatest and last romantic pianists. And he has amazing transcriptions, which are very much into Busoni world, much more than Rachmaninoff's transcriptions. So I wanted to, let's say, devote this album to the most fascinating pianists of all time. And these are Franz Liszt, Sergei Rachmaninoff, and Ignaz Friedman. And they're so different. Their approach to transcriptions are completely different. And that was my main idea, to actually to change the stereotype about transcription. Because for most of people, transcription means a virtuoso work, brilliant, very prominent, and very sometimes even extrovert. But here I wanted to show that the transcription can be very different and can be also very intimate. And the main idea, I mean, the start of this idea to make a transcriptions CD came from my very big affection towards Schubert, and I always wanted to play, to learn the songs of Schubert transcribed by Liszt. Mm-hmm. So that was the base mm-hmm. of my idea, of my project. And then I discovered beautiful songs of Mendelssohn transcribed by Liszt. And then I found amazing transcriptions which Ignaz Friedman did, and almost nobody knows about them. I mean, some of his transcriptions are quite famous, but not all of them. And it's quite a big amount and of transcriptions he did to enrich his own repertoire. And yeah, so that was very interesting work for me. I discovered the Mahler Symphony No. 3, transcribed by Ignaz Friedman. So I thought this is a great opportunity for me to perform on piano something of Mahler. Of course, I love him and always loved his music, but unfortunately we don't have anything for solo piano written by him. So this was a really a big opportunity for me. Mm-hmm.
What I found the most amazing maybe is at the beginning of the CD, for me as I play violin, to hear these violin three sets of Bach, Partita, yes. with harmonizations by Rachmaninoff.
Yes, exactly.
It's very, very surprising.
Yes, actually the Rachmaninoff's transcriptions are very, very prominent. They're very modified. I think in case with Friedman, Friedman's transcriptions are more authentic, talking about the original work. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't modify that much. But since Rachmaninoff was a genius composer, he probably is just, it's actually also amazing this chemistry he builds between his language and the language of original work. And he doesn't destroy them. he just enriches them. It is just wonderful how he's able to do that, because it's very easy to destroy anything if you put too much of yourself. Here, just it works so well that, of course, it's not only Bach. Mm-hmm. It's already very much Rachmaninoff, mm-hmm. but it works well. It works mm-hmm. amazing. And in case with Schubert, I think Liszt was very careful, because it's really very easy to destroy this fragile world of Schubert. And he kept it as authentic mm-hmm. as possible.
Maybe still one word to Ignaz Friedman. I don't know him very much. What made him as a pianist special? And can you recommend something to listen to?
Well, he was very famous, first of all, mm-hmm. as a Chopin interpreter. He, of course, played many other things, but Chopin was probably the most in... also in his focus, and he was very famous for it. But I want to mention that his transcriptions, and he did a lot transcriptions of Bach works. It's very close to, they're close to Busoni transcriptions, because he knew him, and I think he was very inspired. Mm-hmm. So we can hear a little bit of those world of Busoni, Bach-Busoni transcriptions in Brandenburg Concerto mm-hmm. Of Friedman or some other works. Yeah, so he was very much into this style, which Busoni created, and Busoni was also very much influenced by Franz Liszt.
By the way, this flat here is in between the flats of Ignaz Friedman and Busoni. They both lived here nearby in the 100 years ago.
I didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Friedman lived here in Wilmersdorf and Busoni nearby in Schöneberg.
Then I just felt here. It. That's why I chose this apartment.
So what are you doing now? Now the CD is done and it's out. Are you working on new repertoire, putting together new programs?
Yes, I think it's a very nice time to use for discovering new things. And it's very rare when I stay away from traveling and can focus on something. And I feel it would be very pity not to use this special period and just to be lazy and complain. I think it's much more interesting to learn new things, a new repertoire, and maybe things that you wouldn't find to do in a usual life. And yes, I'm working on a new repertoire. I'm learning some new concertos, some new solo pieces. And I actually started working on creating my own transcriptions, a couple of them.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us what is it you're working about? Or?
Yes, I work on excerpts from Bizet opera Pearl Fishers. Mm-hmm. And I also would like to make a transcription of Gypsy Fantasy from Prokofiev's ballet Stoneflower. So it's there are two very attractive masterpieces for me, and I would like to be able to adapt them for the piano.
Well, I had thought pianists could use the corona time now to play piano all day long. But you told me you're not allowed here in the flat, which is always a problem, I think, with the piano.
Yes. Well, I usually don't practice all the day long anyway, because I think I just find it's not necessary, as we have to be very careful, not only with our hands, but with our ears, not to make them tired. Mm. And I feel always very tricky to practice too much when you basically stop hearing precisely. So that could affect affect your work in general, mm-hmm. when it becomes pointless.
So a lot of work is done without the piano then?
Can be also, mm-hmm. yes. Mm-hmm. Just reading some books or books about a certain field you are discovering in a certain piece, or working with recordings, mm-hmm. or working just with a score, mm-hmm. it would be very, very important and necessary.
Mm-hmm. And if you say now you're working with new repertoire, so do you do that with the scores, or do you do it at the piano?
Both. I've spent some hours working on a new piece, but I also work on score a lot. When I don't get distracted for hands, for fingers, but mm-hmm. I can really get into the music with mm-hmm. all my existence.
Well then, I say thank you very much. And thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.